From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. Visitors to the East African nation of Tanzania marvel at its spectacular scenery, from the tropical snows of Mount Kilimanjaro to the teeming wildlife of the Serengeti Plain. Yet if you look beyond its vistas, the politics of this country of 57 million people are in flux. In 2015, a longtime minister of the ruling CCM party named John Magufuli was elected president. And Magufuli won over many of his critics by leading a high-profile anti-corruption effort shortly after taking office. But over the past 2 years, Magufuli has also led what critics say is a broad assault on human rights, including freedom of expression. His government has suspended the publication of a number of newspapers that criticized him, and even detained and interrogated researchers from the Committee to Protect Journalists. It's attempted to silence critical bloggers and members of the opposition. It's also gone forwards with plans to prevent pregnant teenagers from attending school, and even threatened a polling agency that reported his approval ratings were dropping. Now, all of this has drawn international condemnation of a country that for decades has been one of the freest in East Africa. So on this edition of Global Journalist, a look at President Magufuli's crackdown on civil liberties in Tanzania. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a great panel of guests in East Africa who have been tracking these issues. But first, we're going to talk about the government's recent efforts to prosecute and intimidate lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans Tanzanians that has reportedly forced hundreds of them into hiding. So to hear more about this, we're joined by James Wandera Uma in the Tanzanian capital, Dar es Salaam. He's the executive director of the gay rights group LGBT Voice Tanzania. James, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, James, talk to us if you would. You are an openly gay man in Tanzania. How common is it now for you to meet someone who is openly gay on the street?
It is not that much common because people are afraid of coming out. So not much common.
Okay, so it's quite rare. And I understand that the climate for LGBT people, for gay men, has been difficult for many years. One of the initiatives the government has done is it's started to prosecute people for being gay, for being lesbian. And one of President Magufuli's close political allies, a guy named Paul Makonda, he's the regional commissioner for Dar es Salaam, announced he was creating a special force to hunt down and arrest LGBT people. And we have some audio of him speaking to reporters in Swahili a few weeks ago. We're going to listen to that real quickly.
If you think gays have a right, take them and stay with them in your countries, because they can come to you and tell you we're not needed in Tanzania or Dar es Salaam.
Well, James, if you could talk to us about the impact of his words.
Actually, it has been worse, you know. Since he made this kind of statement and all the plans around, at least one person has been killed. And there have been several arrests, you know, like in Tanzania, there's no media that is reporting these issues, but several people have been arrested in Tanzania mainland, and so, also in...
So you're saying several people have been arrested in Tanzania's mainland, but also in Zanzibar, an island which is part of Tanzania?
Yes.
Well, tell us if you would then, what happened most recently in Zanzibar? I know that there was some publicity locally about that. It's something like 10 men were arrested.
Yeah, 10 men were arrested. Okay, they have been released. All of them have been released. You know, when you get arrested here in Tanzania, you go through a lot of things. You suffer.
Yeah, so I understand you yourself, you've been arrested 9 times. In this case, I think in Zanzibar, the 10 men were attending what was reported to be a same-sex wedding, and then somehow they were reported by some locals to the police. So how is it that the government is looking to round up gay men and trans people?
I really don't understand why the government is doing all this. And maybe it might be like political reasons, or some pressure from some people around, or some religious organizations, but because there is actually, we don't have a law that will prohibit homosexuality or gay people, lesbians, trans. The only law we have in this country is a sodomy law, which is against penetration. Penetration, that's all.
So there's a law that prevents sodomy, but nonetheless, the government has been arresting people that it suspects of being gay. So how is it that they identify them?
Mainly gay people who are feminine, they have this the female body language, the people who are targeted most, and people who come out, you know. People who come out are the people who are targeted much. But also we have the rumors and the stories around, so they can hear stories, rumors from about people, and then they arrest you. They just arrest you. When they arrest you, they take you to police custody. After some 2 days, they take you for examination. That's all.
Okay, so even when you're in custody, they'll do these anal examinations, you were saying, then to sort of determine if somebody has had same-sex intercourse. But you mentioned that also one of the reasons you could be arrested was just for having effeminate body language or for being openly gay. You yourself, I understand, have been arrested 9 times in Tanzania. Talk to us about one of the most recent times that occurred.
I think the last one was in 2014. That's when I was arrested for the last time.
And what happened?
No, I didn't know actually what was going on. They just, somebody called me without even telling me why they called me. They called me to the police station, say, okay, somebody, you come out here, we have some questions to ask you. And when I went there, and they started asking me a lot of, like, 8 hours, they were questioning me. And they had, I made a statement, like, 30, 40 pages. And then they said, me, you are under arrest. We have to do some interrogations. We have to do, some interrogations. So they had me in.
Well, one of the things I understand the government did last year is that it moved to suspend HIV/AIDS prevention programs that targeted gay men. And now this is in a country where the UN estimates that something like 18% of gay men are HIV positive. So what impact has this had, this move to close clinics or shut down HIV/AIDS prevention programs?
You know, like most LGBT people, especially gay men, feel not to seek health services in these public facilities we have, because the facilities are not user friendly. And because of that, people don't seek services in those facilities. Now, we had these other facilities that were made specifically for gay men, especially men who have sex with men, and they were much user-friendly, so people could access services there. But now, these facilities being closed...
And when you say they're user-friendly, you mean that, like, the clinic staff itself is
clinic
homophobic?
Staff, the environment, the staff, and all the things... They understand. When you go there, you just come out to them, tell them I'm gay, tell them I'm a lesbian, I'm trans. So it's like it's user-friendly.
Well, James, I understand then. I mean, the situation, it sounds somewhat challenging there. Given all these challenges, what keeps you going? What keeps you sort of passionate about being an activist?
The struggle must continue. You know, like, we have to fight. Nothing is easy. Nothing is simple. We cannot get where I want to go if we sit down and relax.
Well,
it's just we are fighting for freedom.
Well, James Wanderauma, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
A reminder that you're tuned in to Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. On today's program, we're talking about the recent crackdown on civil liberties in the East African nation of Tanzania. We just heard about the government's efforts to arrest and prosecute LGBT people in the country. From the Tanzanian gay rights activist James Wanderauma. To expand our discussion now, we're going to bring in 3 other people who have been following the new human rights restrictions in Tanzania closely. Joining us from Nairobi is Abdi Latif Dahir, a reporter for the news site Quartz Africa. Abdi Latif, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, is Maria Sarungitsahai. She runs a Tanzanian TV and video production company called Compass Communications. Maria, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And on the line from Nairobi, Kenya, is Roland Ibole, a human rights researcher at Amnesty International who covers Tanzania. Roland, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be at Global Journalist. Thank you.
Well, Abdi Latif, if I could start with you, I wanted to begin by talking about the media environment in Tanzania right now. You've been reporting on restrictions on the press there for a couple of years now. What do Tanzanian reporters tell you when you talk to them about the situation?
Yes, I mean, it's been a very interesting, I mean, for an administration that was, you know, elected on an anti-corruption platform, as you mentioned earlier, and there's a sort of like this ominous closing of civic space, and especially of like freedom of expression and freedom of information. And speaking to journalists, I mean, from like newspapers like Mawio that was closed, I spoke to the founder of Jamii Forums, which is one of the country's most vibrant social networking spaces. And, you know, these journalists tell me that they are worried. They are worried about the closing space of freedom in terms of like what they can report and how they can report. They're also very much worried about the uncertainty that comes with, closing, a newspaper or radio station or a media outlet where you're actually working and like getting your daily income. And these worries sort of like are also multiplied because now they think that it's just not about, the government sort of like cracking down on the kind of like, platforms or the kind of stories that they're writing, but it's also about trying to use the law in terms of ensuring that, that whatever they're writing or whatever they're putting up online, is giving the government unfettered access to police the web. So, we've had, the passing of, for instance, the electronic and postal communications law. We had a case of, the government saying that they would require that all bloggers are certified and they had to pay like a $900, over $900 fee, which is an exorbitant amount of money. And for a lot of people who want to go online and write these stories and stay active and hold, the government accountable.
Well, Abdi Latif, if I could return to that point, actually, because I think this is quite interesting, the government's efforts to restrict bloggers. But first, I want to turn the conversation to Maria Sarungi-Sahai. The Committee to Protect Journalists recently sent to researchers, I guess they were invited to Tanzania by the government, to sort of research what has been going on there. Talk to us about what happened to them.
Sure. The CPJ, or the Committee to Protect Journalists, researchers were here on the invitation of a collective body that is recognized by the government that sort of coordinates all the media houses here in Tanzania. So it's the Media Council of Tanzania. And the main focus was just to sort of get first an overview of what the situation is following all these reports that also Abdi's referred to, but to a number of incidents, including one of the journalists who has disappeared for over a year now, Azory Gwanda, and including many other incidences. And what happened is they did manage to get interviews with a number of journalists and people working in different kind of media houses. However, during their work, the officials appeared at the room at night and took them away. It was not clear from the beginning whether these men who took them away were from which entity within the government. They did look like they were from some form of security agencies. They did not really identify themselves. Later in the morning, some of us, when we received word of that, we of course got very, very worried. The word started going out in the early hours of dawn because there was a tweet that was sent out by one of the researchers, Angela, and there was a lot of concern, of course. What we were told was that they were detained by immigration. However, it was very interesting that at the beginning of the early hours when the immigration spokesperson was interviewed, he said that they don't have any information on that. And much later, of course, then it was denied. So after they were released, we didn't get from the media community here in Tanzania, we didn't get to talk to them. But later there was a recount by one of the researchers what happened, and it seems that we're not part of the immigration.
I'm sorry, we lost your audio just briefly then. So eventually these two women from CPJ were released, and it sounds like the government sort of brought forward these trumped up immigration charges against them. But if I could turn this to Roland Ebole then, talk to us just a little bit about President Magufuli. I know that after he was elected in 2015, he did receive a lot of positive publicity, at least initially. His popularity seemed to be quite high. What was the attraction of him?
I think for Magufuli, the president, the attraction was his approach towards the fight against corruption, also as it seemed at that time, because like many other countries in the region, people have been yearning for proper service delivery, especially from the public institutions. And so many people really got endeared to him because of that approach whereby he would go to a hospital, find this and that missing, and immediately reprimand the officials. But again, the actions started becoming more and more arbitrary, whereby now the kind of discussions that we are having, most of it is not really pegged on the law. So that arbitrary action led to what we are seeing now, whereby there is a lot of attacks on the civic space, and the civic space being very large. You're talking about press freedom, you're talking about political freedom, you're talking about you know, human rights groups, civil society organizations, and other groups. So I think that kind of action, whereby there was a lot of arbitrariness that people supposed was meant for good, later on turned to really get very arbitrary, and that's where we are at now.
Well, Abdi Latif Tahir, if I could bring you back in then. Talk to us about some of the laws the government is using to try to quiet its critics. You had referenced earlier the use of a cyber crimes law and also the licensing of bloggers. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, one of the interesting ones that that you know really drew my attention recently was the one related to the collection and sharing of data. And I think the government introduced this amendment, this statistic amendment, that sort of like criminalizes the collection, the analysis, and I think the dissemination of any data without first obtaining an authorization from the country's chief statistician.
Wait, any statistics? What do you mean by that?
Any data whatsoever collected within Tanzania, you have to get approval from the country's chief statistician. And I remember speaking to you know, like a number of NGOs and like researchers, and asking them what this meant for them. And many of them say that you know, the law will basically curtail both the, you know, the collection of crucial data, and also for journalists in this case, the ability to fact check, right, and the ability to hold official sources accountable. So the fact that, you know, the government is sort of like casting itself as the sole custodian of data in the sense is also a very problematic issue for journalists, who especially rely on information and data to tell some of these stories. I spoke, yes, about the idea of licensing bloggers and charging them over $900 a year just to, you know, put content online. And I think the last one that I want to mention also is the Jamii Forums, which is, for lack, you know, some people have called it the Swahili WikiLeaks, in the sense that, you know, here you have a platform where tens of thousands of people come in online and are writing, you know, and sharing information and holding government sources accountable. And yet, you know, the founder, for instance, when I last spoke to him last year, told me that he had been in at the courts. He was summoned to the courts 51 times.
51 times for running what's essentially an online bulletin board, then it sounds
like. Precisely, yes. Yes.
Well, I need to take a quick break to remind our audience that they're tuned into Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. On today's program, we're talking about Tanzania's move to restrict civil liberties, including press freedom and gay rights. We're joined by Abdi Latif Tahir of Quartz Africa, Maria Sarungi Tsahai, a Tanzanian TV producer, activist, and businesswoman, as well as by Roland Ibole of Amnesty International. If you're interested in more Global Journalists, check us out online at globaljournalist.org. There you can find our archives and additional coverage of underreported international news and human rights issues. You can also like us on Facebook, where we live stream, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or see our video cast on YouTube. Now, Maria Sarungi Tsahai, I wanted to ask you about this Tanzanian investigative journalist you mentioned earlier, Azory Gwanda. He disappeared about a year ago. What had he been reporting on? What do we know about what happened to him?
There is very little that we know what exactly happened to him, but what we do know is he was working on a very important investigative piece that was looking at some of the unrest that was taking part in some parts along the coastal area of Tanzania. So it covers three regions, which is Mkuranga, Rufiji, as well as the coast area itself. And what happened is that there was incidents of a sniper or a group of snipers who apparently were taking out police and some of the ruling party CCM officials and even some of the local government officials. And they were shot without people really knowing where the shooting came from. So we assumed that it was all about snipers. And it got quite difficult in terms of security. So it was cordoned off as a high security area. And it seems apparently that a combined security force went in, including the army. And this investigative reporter, Azory Gwanda, was following up to how this operation was happening and how it has affected the people living there. There has been a lot of talk in parliament from members of parliament who talked about civilians being killed, sometimes just, you know, in groups, being accused of helping and abating the culprits. But unfortunately, not much was known, and Azory was part of the sweep whereby he disappeared. There are also other people who have disappeared in that area, and not much is known of what has happened to them, unfortunately.
And what has the government done to sort of probe his disappearance?
Well, there has not been too much. The past minister for Interior Affairs, who oversees the police, didn't say much. Even the current one, who just took over after the previous one was sacked, sort of very flippantly said that people may disappear because they want to change their lives and to find a better way of living, which sounded very flippant, considering that he was taken away and his wife was very concerned because it was not clear who had taken him. So it of course definitely looks like a forced disappearance, not just, you know, a normal walking away from the life that you live sort of disappearance.
And I should say, we did contact the Tanzanian embassy in the United States to invite representatives of the government on this show. They didn't get back to us. But I just want to move on to another point here with Roland Ebole. Obviously, some of these cases like that of Azory Gwanda have received a lot of attention. But one that has particularly stood out, particularly internationally, has been the government's move to expel pregnant teenage girls from school. Talk to us just a little bit about that, Roland. Where did this come from? How is it being enforced?
I think, again, I must speak and mention that this comes from arbitrary actions by government, whereby government, President Magufuli has a moral standpoint and really wants to impose that moral standpoint on the people of Tanzania. And so where this stands is that you have schoolgirls, school-going girls that have fallen pregnant, but because there is a larger campaign by the presidency to have Tanzania follow certain kind of moral value, then calling on schools to expel these girls from going back to school, which definitely goes against, it's a discriminatory practice against these school-going girls. And what we're calling for definitely is that, you know, the right to education of every girl, every child must be protected, and such kind of action, such kind of arbitrary actions also follow on other arbitrary actions that we've seen, such as, you know, trying to stop or ban adverts on television or on media with regards to sexual and reproductive health. So it is in a chain.
So they've been banning condom ads or public health messages about safe sex.
Exactly. It's in a series of very many other kind of arbitrary action that we're seeing, action that must be condemned because every person has a right to their sexual and reproductive rights. So this is just part of it. And again, goes back into what we are talking about, whereby Tanzanian authorities have really gone into pressing or suppressing media or press freedom. And when you're telling an organization or a media house that, you know, they do not have the right to report on certain areas, then, you know, you are really using the laws or sometimes using arbitrary actions outside the law to really suppress on the right to expression, freedom of expression.
Well, Abdi Latif Tahir, what has been the international response to some of these moves then? Have we seen that the international community has been speaking with one voice on this, that it's taken any effective moves?
Yes, I think the key one was when the CPJ advocates were arrested in Tanzania, especially given the fact that, you know, a lot of media outlets have been reporting on you know, the suppression of the free press space. And so when these two top advocates, one of whom was the researcher for Sub-Saharan Africa, and the other one was the Africa Program Director at CPJ, were arrested, we saw you know, the United Nations, you know, representative on representatives. We saw governments. We saw, you know, digital activists. We saw institutions all across the world, sort of like jumping on and saying that, you know, they need to be freed. They, you know, the Tanzanian government needs to disclose where they are, and so that for me was an essential way of looking at the story, which was that, you know, initially, even if it didn't have enough global attention, I think the arrest of the CPJ advocates really brought the global attention to this. And the other one is with the question of aid, where when both the Dutch government responded to the Dutch government say that they were gonna not give, I think, at least $10 million in aid because of the human rights violations related to the arrests of the gay men and in Zanzibar, and then the World Bank sort of like also came in and said that they were going to stop a $300 million loan, I think educational loan, to Tanzania because they had heard about this legislation that was about banning pregnant girls in school. So there is increasing international attention towards this, you know, the Magufuli administration and some of the actions that they're taking. And I think it's going to be increasing only because of, the kind of stories that we're coming, that we hear, especially coming out of Tanzania, or especially also, for instance, in the case of like Azory Gwanda, who's, you know, has disappeared a year ago and nobody.
Well, Abdi Latif, I want to stop you just there because we're almost out of time. I want to give the last word to Maria Sarungi Tsahai because you are in Dar es Salaam. Where do you see, we have about 30 seconds left, Maria, where do you see this going over the next couple of years? What's the trajectory of what's happening right now?
I think that very rightfully so, as James had pointed out, we as Tanzanians and as citizens particularly, we are becoming more and more active because we have to finally hold the government accountable. I think the trajectory is showing that Tanzanians are becoming more and more active on a citizen level, and that is very important. I think that the civic space cannot continue to shrink without any sort of reaction coming from the larger mass. And that will mean that there will have to be ways of mitigating some of the risks that may come, and it has to be done in a more formal manner. So there are now signs that the government is willing to more and more engage, which is a good sign. And although it is not necessarily driven by the highest office, but I think that in the mid and lower level of government offices, there has been more and more reach out toward the civil society and to other parts.
Well, Maria, however, I'm sorry, I have to stop. I have to stop you enough there because we're out of time for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the Missouri School of Journalism and KBIA Mid-Missouri Public Radio. Many thanks to James Wandera Uma, Abdi Latif Tahir, Maria Sarungi Tsahai, and Roland Ibole for joining us. Our assistant producers this week are Elliot Bauman and Shirley Tay. Yanqi Shu is our supervising producer. Maggie Duncan is visual editor. Aaron Hay is audio master, and Travis McMillan is director. For all of us at Global Journalist, I'm Jason McClure. Thanks for tuning in.